Well, there we are. That was the OJ's with the Love Train. An appropriate song for the item that I wish to describe to you. It's an item that I fell in love with a few weeks ago when I heard it described on the BBC Radio 4's In Touch programme for the blind and partially sighted. And I decided there and then that I must have one. So the following day, my daughter took me into town and I went into Curry's, formerly known as Dixon's, and asked them if they'd got some, and they said, yes, we have that. Would you like one? I said, yes, please. And she said, which one would you like? The 1 gigabyte or the 2 gigabyte? I said, oh, the one I heard about was the 1 gigabyte, so I'll have the 1 gigabyte one, please. So certainly, sir, she got it out and wrapped it up. I gave her my card, I punched in a couple of numbers, or maybe 4 even, who knows, and walked out of the shop with my acquisition. My daughter walked me home again, and she read some of the instructions out to me. But first of all, of course, I had to open the box. So I opened the box. Inside the box was one of these hard, very resilient bubble packs, which was easier to open than most. You just had to pry the two sides apart and then the contents were available to you. So this I did. As I say, the inside the box bubble pack was a sheet of instructions which had been folded up many times to make it fit the box. There was a short USB lead, which was very short indeed, about 3 inches, which is unusual, I think. I've never seen one as short as that before, but in actual fact it is very useful. One good thing about it is it never gets tangled up with anything else, any of the other leads that are lying around on your desktop. Also inside the packet were a set of earbuds, or a pair of earbuds, or one set of earbuds. Depends how you like to describe them. And what else was there in there? Let me think now. Of course, the item itself. The item that I so desired. It's an item that was made by Creative. And I know Creative have a good reputation in the computer industry. 10 to 15 years ago, when I used to build my own computers, I always used to put one of their sound cards into my computers, and they were a really good quality and very economical to buy as well. Another reason why I used to buy them, my budget was not very large. So we'd unpacked the item. My daughter said, according to the instructions, it needs to be charged for 3 hours before you can use it. So I immediately connected it to the computer via this short USB lead and thought the 3 hours will soon go if I start doing some other things on the computer, which is what I did. While I was waiting for it to charge up, I decided to think what I was going to put on it when it was ready to use. And, oh dear, I've just remembered. I haven't told you what it is yet. Oh dear, how amiss of me, how amiss of me. Here we go then, hang on to your seats, folks. It is an MP3 player called a Zenstone. Yes, a Zenstone. An MP3 player which is fully accessible, whether you have sight or not. Now, why is it so accessible? And why is it causing such a stir in our community? Well, the reason is that it's so simple to use. There are few controls. There are no menus. There is no screen. Just simple controls, which you are in charge of. Right, I think I'd better describe it to you before I go any further. The Zenstone is 51 millimeters long on one side, which we'll call that the horizontal side, is 34 millimeters deep along the other side. So it is basically rectangular. It is 8 millimeters thick in the middle. Now, if you hold this device in your hand, you'll feel two flat faces, but on one of the flat faces is a little, what could only be described as a pimple. In actual fact, it's a little button, but it's about the size of a small pea. Now, if you hold that face towards you, then feel around the edges of the device until you come to a kind of flat, elongated button on one edge. That is on one of the 51 millimeter long edges. So when you find that, turn the device so that is at the top. We know that's the top because below that on the front face is that little button I was telling you about. Around that button is a circular ring, flat and flush, virtually flush, with the actual face of the item itself. That surrounds that little button. Underneath those rings, the four points of the compass, are some tiny switches which are not accessible, but they are pressed down when you press the ring in certain places. So you've got a north, south, east and west positions to press on this ring. You can press it anywhere else, of course, but if you press it in between those, you won't exactly know what's going on. So, why is that important? Well, to have the... if you've got the button at the top, the flat button on the top edge, you'll know that is the top, because if you press the ring, which side, north side of the button, that will turn the volume up, or increase the volume. If you press the ring underneath the button, that would decrease the volume. So you can see, if you had it the other way up, it would be most confusing. So, with the button on the edge at the top, you know it's the right way up. If you press the ring on the right-hand side of the button, you will move forward through your files. If you press the ring on the left-hand side of the button, you will move backwards through your files. Right. So, how do you turn the device on? Well, you hold the button in the center, which I'm going to call the select button. Hold it down for about 5 seconds. This will turn the machine on. If you can see, or if you've got someone who can see for you, this will also show a green light. There's a little LED on the front of the device, on the same face as the navigation controls. This has various functions which, if you're sighted, you can see what's going on, because it can flash or stay steady or change colour, but you don't really need to worry about that. I haven't needed to worry about mine, and I've had mine 3 weeks now, and it's not misbehaved at all. I know when it needs charging, because it has a battery life of approximately 10 hours, and I never use it for that long anyway. Once it gets to nearly 10 hours, I put it back on charge again by plugging it into the computer. In fact, it probably gets quite a bit of charge in between times when I'm either taking stuff off it or putting stuff on it from the computer. So it seems to be getting topped up regularly. But it's best in the long run to let it discharge fully sometime and then charge it up fully again. That will keep the battery healthy. Right, so we've got to a stage where the battery is charged up and you're ready to go. So without unplugging it from the computer, decide what you're going to put on it. I wanted to put some podcasts on it, so I downloaded several podcasts from the Blind Call Tech site. Also went to the jodcast.net site for some astronomical podcasts. And I got rather carried away there. I downloaded all of the podcasts, or all of the available podcasts that were archived right back to the beginning of 2006. So as you can see, I got carried away there, considering there's about 2 podcasts every month. Anyway, I've got plenty to listen to now. I won't run out. And with new ones coming out every month as well, it's going to be difficult to catch up with them. But I'll do it. What else did I download? A couple of BBC podcasts. One of which was... Let me think now. Oh, that was the Jodcast, that's right. That was advertised on the BBC Radio 5 Live one night. Anyway, back to the thing. How do you load them onto the Zenstone? Quite simply, there are 2 ways. You can copy and paste things into the Zenstone, or you can send your items to the Zenstone. I chose the latter method because I can do that more accurately, I feel. I'm happy with it anyway. I made some folders. I made 3 folders. One for music, one for podcasts, and one for telephone numbers, which I call the phone book. And I have the podcasts and the music folders, which I gave announcements to, so that when you change folders, you know which folder you're in straight away, without having to guess which one it is. So, sending to. Put the files that you want to put into your folder for the music. Make the first file in that folder your announcement, which you previously recorded on your voice recorder and put in that folder. Then close the folder. Send that folder. When you send things, you get a list of targets, don't you? So, and funny enough, the Zenstone is there. It reads it out and says Zenstone. So you say yes, and you click it, and off it goes to the Zenstone, the whole folder, in one fair swoop. So, you can then load, that is how you load your folders onto your Zenstone. The other thing I should say is that it comes preloaded with 2 folders with ideal demonstrations of the stereo quality of the device, which you may like to remove before you put your own folders on there. I did. I removed mine onto the computer, so that I haven't lost them, but they're still available to me if I want them. But they're on the computer in their own little folder on the desktop. So they're not lost, but they're there if I need them. So I started out basically with an empty Zenstone, and I started loading my folders onto it. Works well, as I will demonstrate in one moment. The other thing to say about the Zenstone is, I've told you how to turn it on. You'd use the same method for turning it off. But there is a slight difference there. You don't have to turn it off if you... Perhaps you've stopped it playing for a few moments and get carried away and forget about it. Don't worry, it won't run your battery dry. It will turn itself off after 5 or 6 minutes. So you'll have to turn it on again when you go back to it. But it's got that fail-safe device of saving your battery life for you by turning itself off if you don't touch it when it's not playing. Right, so that's playing. I better describe the rest of it to you. I've described the navigation controls. Right, on the top, which you've discovered, which is the top by now, just to the left of that sliding button is a small hole, which is where you plug in your earbuds or your headphones or your external speakers, for instance. You might want to allow other people to listen to what you've got on your Zenstone, but it's important to use a powered speaker system. You can buy them for iPods and other kinds of things, but it must be powered, because the Zenstone itself doesn't have enough oomph, if you like, to drive speakers on its own. They must be powered, have their own preamplifier inside them. Right, so that's that. This little flat button on the top, which I was telling you about. It's in the center at the moment when you buy it, and that's where I keep mine. Now, if you were to push it to the right, it would stay there. This is a position it needs to be in if you want to randomize your music. And, well, any files that are on there, I suppose it would work with. But it wouldn't be a good idea to use it if you were listening to talking books on there, because you'd probably find yourself listening to chapter 11 before you'd even read chapter 1. So don't use it for talking books, but for music it's okay if you like to randomize your music. And bearing in mind that although it is only a 1 gigabyte, if you save your music files in, say, WMA format, you'll get about 70 hours of music on there, and that equates to 1,428 separate tracks, and I think that's enough for anyone to take out with them when they leave the house. So, what's next? Oh yes, so that's randomized, that's with the button over to the right hand side. If you push the button over to the, well, push it back to the middle first, where it will stay. If you push it to the left, it will change the folder that you're in to the next folder. It will then spring back to the center. That's what it should do, so don't worry about that. It hasn't broken. It's meant to spring back to the center. So otherwise it would be continuously changing folders and you wouldn't get anywhere. So I will demonstrate that to you now. Let's put the turn the device on, because I think it's turned itself off by now. I haven't touched it, so I'm going to turn it on now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 8, 5. It's on, we hope. It's probably still in the music folder. Well, it will be, because that's where I left it. When you first turn it on, it takes about 10 seconds to realize it's awake. Ah, here we go, it's starting now. I'm just going back through the files. Anyway, I don't know. I'm going to change the folders now so that you can see how the folders change. I've got to turn the volume up, otherwise you won't hear anything. I'm pressing the up side of the ring. That's the volume increase. Now I'm going to change the folders for you so you can hear how the folders work. I'm pressing that little button to the left.
Podcasts.
That's my podcast folder.
The story so far.
Phone book.
That's my phone book folder.
Adrian got music.
That's my music folder. Believe it or not. mud. Yes, quite. I agree with you. They are a bit on the old-fashioned side, but never mind. They're on my Zen Stone. I like anything with a beat. I used to skate to music like this, believe it or not. Anyway, I will now demonstrate how to move forward through your files in the music folder by pressing the right-hand side of the ring once. Here we go. ABBA, I suppose. Oh, Freddie Mercury and Montserrat Caballier. Lovely song, that. I can't get enough of that. Oh, and Bond, yes. Oh, no, not the Macarena. Yes, I'm afraid so. What's this one? Oh, that's the Fat Boys. You might have known, mightn't you? And Bette Midler with something. Ah, and the Pointer Sisters. I love the Pointer Sisters. They were my favourite songs to skate to. Yes, folks, I used to go roller skating. And very good I was too, although I say it myself. What's this? Oh, another Pointer Sisters. Yep. Jump for your love, or jump for my love. I've got another version of that on here, Madonna's version, I think. Oh no, Ginger Spice, which is not as good, but it's different and it's still got a good beat to skate to. What's next? Oh, we're back to that. Okay, that's fine, thank you. That'll do for now. We'll use you as a sign-out music. What else have I got to say about that? Well, I've told you how to move between files. Oh yes, that's on the bottom left of the device, on the bottom edge, right on the left, is the socket where you plug your USB lead in to connect to the computer. Well, that's the device explained, really. I can't think of anything else to say about it. Is there anything else to say about it? Nope, I can't think of anything else. One thing you may like to do, because it shows the popularity of the device, really, is the way that other manufacturers have latched onto the fact that it's quite popular, and they've started making, additions to it, I suppose you'd call them, or toys for it. If you're quite familiar with the process of owning a Barbie doll, probably, some of you, and when you buy Barbie dolls, excuse me, you have to buy accessories for them, don't you? Well, it's the same with the Zenstone, apparently. One manufacturer out there has started making accessories for it. You can buy skins. You can buy an armband to put it on. You can buy some sort of clip to attach it to your lapel or your jacket pocket or something. Anywhere you can attach it to, you'll be able to attach it to it. So, I think that shows a measure of its popularity. The skins you can buy are apparently a multitude of colours, and they come in sets, I believe, of 5 or 7. So you can have a different skin every day if you want to. Where do you get them from? Well, the only place I know of, and there's probably more, there's bound to be more, but the place I know of is play.com. It's www.play.com, and they have these items for sale there. They also have Zen stones that are about £4 or £5 cheaper than they are in the high street, and that's mainly because play.com operate from Jersey and they don't pay any VAT there, so you get them a bit cheaper, and the free delivery as well, so it can't be bad. What more could you want? Well, I think I've told you all I know about the Zenstone. If there's anything else that any of you out there know, you'll be able to write an addendum to it, to my podcast, that is, and tell me about them, or just email me, might be a better idea. So, that just about wraps it up. I will give you my email address, which is bw2k@compuserve.com, and so it's David Miles signing off with the music.